We are going to push the pause button on our study through the book of Acts. We'll come back to that important study on September 18th. But this morning, take your Bibles or download the YouVersion Bible app. Choose the menu and then select events, and you'll be right there with us. For the next 2 weeks, what I want to do is look at our church slogan. We kind of introduced it, but didn't spend much time talking about it. Our slogan is Big Love, Love Big, Live Bold. I almost forgot it for a moment. Love Big, Live Bold. This morning, we're going to look at the first half of that, Love Big. Matthew chapter 10. We may not agree with everyone, but we love everyone. We may not be loved by everyone. We certainly won't be. But we are going to love everyone. We may be persecuted by folks, but we're still going to love everyone, even those who persecute us. We're going to embrace and stand strong in the convictions the Lord has given us in Scripture, but at the same time, we are going to love everyone. Our ministry as a church is a ministry of unconditional love. Patrick Green of San Antonio, outspoken atheist, has a long history of opposing the Christian church and Christianity there in San Antonio. In fact, 2012, he was going to sue the Henderson County over their manger display at the courthouse. In an interview with the Athens Review newspaper, he said, "My wife and I never had a Christian do anything nice for us." That's a sad testimony. Let me read the rest of the article. But all that changed when he learned he needed surgery for a detached retina. He lost his job and found himself with no money to pay for the surgery. When Jessica Cryer, a member of Sand Springs Baptist Church, heard about it, she asked her pastor, Eric Graham, if their church could help. Graham contacted Green, who reluctantly grumbled over the phone that if the church wanted to do something, his family could use some groceries. A few days later, the church sent Green a check for $400. Now, I know what they did. They took up a love offering. They took up a special love offering and sent him a check for $400. He was blown away, the article says. More checks soon followed. Green said, "I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. These people are acting like what the Bible says a Christian does." Jessica Cryer had made a difference. Now, rather than suing to remove the manger display, Green has contributed a star for the top of the nativity scene. Now, folks, that's who we are. That's what we do. We're all about that. We're all about unconditional love. So what we're going to talk about this morning is that characteristic of Christ's church and that characteristic of us as a congregation of believers. We are all about big love. Now that concept for the followers of the Lord, that event began here in Matthew 10, where we're spending our time this morning. So follow along with me, beginning in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Summoning his 12 disciples, and by the way, you'll remember this is where we stopped last spring. We're kind of picking up where we stopped. Summoning his disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew. By the way, the same Matthew is the one who wrote this gospel we're looking at this morning. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, listen to this, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Jesus sent these 12 after giving them these instructions. Don't take the road leading to other nations, and don't enter any Samaritan town. Instead, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, announce this: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin diseases, drive out demons. You've received free of charge. Give free of charge. And thus began the ministry of unconditional love, of which we're going to speak today. The ministry of unconditional love. Big love. I want to look at this from a couple of different, three different dimensions. First, let's look at the ministers who love big. Who are these folks? We're talking about ministers who love big. The ministers who represent Christ to the community and love big on His behalf. Who are they? Well, the first ones were these 12 apostles named in verses 2 through 4. Jesus had handpicked these 12. You're familiar with that story. They had the qualities, they had the characteristics that Jesus preferred in those who were going to be His ministers. What were those characteristics? Well, for one thing, they had no formal training. After Jesus ascended to heaven and these apostles were beginning Christ's church, Peter and John were taken to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, just an assembly of Jewish leaders. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we read this. When they observed, we're talking about the Sanhedrin, when the Sanhedrin observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and knew that they had been with Jesus. So we read there that they were uneducated and untrained. Formal training, formal education in ministry has never been a prerequisite for a person to participate in the ministry of Christ's unconditional love. Now, we're not talking about pastors. Pastors need some formal training to know how to lead a congregation. We're talking here about ministers, those who, on the Lord's behalf, express unconditional love to the folks in the neighborhood. It's those we're talking about. It's all right if a person has ministry training. It doesn't eliminate them. It's just not necessary. Another thing they had no formal qualifications. They didn't have to take any physicals. They didn't have to be in any certain health condition. They didn't have to take any exams, no SATs. Aren't you glad? Yeah, no SATs. They didn't have to be any certain age on the young side or on the top side. They didn't have to be able to speak well. They didn't have to have impressive resumes. In fact, they did not have impressive resumes. In fact, all Jesus asked of them was to use the gifts they were born with, to use the personality they were born with, to use whatever it was God gave them as individuals, to use that in order to love on people. Those were the only qualifications we see Jesus asking. Another observation, this will be the last one as we're looking at the ministers who love big, is they had no formal experience. This event occurred at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now, in time, these men would be with Jesus for 3 years and they would gain a lot of experience as they went around with Him. But that's not the case now. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. These men are fresh out of the fishing boats. They're fresh out of their tax collecting duties. These men are right out of their vocations, whatever it was they did for a living. These men are rookies when it comes to representing Jesus in the world, ministering to the world on Jesus' behalf. These men are rookies. We should know how that feels. In fact, you look here, even Judas Iscariot participated in this initial group of ministers. So again, they had no formal qualifications, no formal experience. When I went to Beirut the first time, I was introduced to a man named Robert who handed out Bibles to militant Muslims. And the pastor there introduced me to Robert. Robert could speak no English. I could speak no Arabic. So the pastor kind of translated for us. And the pastor introduced Robert to me as we were shaking hands. He said, Robert is able to hand out Bibles to Muslims that would not receive Bibles from me. This is the pastor speaking. He said, Robert is able to represent Jesus and spread Jesus' love among Muslims who would not receive that from me. He said, the reason for that is I'm a professional minister. I get paid for what I do. But Robert's not paid. He just on his own is out there ministering to Muslims. And there Robert stood with a big smile on his face, not knowing anything the pastor was telling me. So I gripped his hand and shook it even harder. I turned to the pastor and I said, what are his qualifications? What's his education for doing this? He said, he has no education in the ministry. He has no qualifications for doing what he's doing. He said, in fact, Robert just got out of the Lebanese army a year ago. He was a combat soldier in the Lebanese army. He just got out of the army a year ago, and he hit the ground running. Just right away, he began handing out Bibles to Muslims. Not paid for what he was doing at all. We carried, by the way, a bunch of Bibles back there too, Robert. I'm looking at some of you guys who went with me the second time. We carried Bibles, cases and cases and cases of Bibles back there to Robert so he could hand them out to these radical Muslims. No formal education, no formal qualifications, no formal experience. He just did it. And God blessed him. You know, this is what we see. We see that Jesus preferred to work through normal, everyday folks in spreading his love, not professional ministers. Years ago, when I went into the seminary, I didn't start seminary until I was 30. When I went into the seminary, I made friends with a man named Fred, who managed all of the building and grounds maintenance staff. And I became friends with Fred. And he said one day as we were visiting, he was worried about me. I said, why are you worried about me, Fred? He said, well, Steve, I can tell you love the Lord and you're passionate about his work. He said, I just hope they don't mess you up here. You know, I went there to learn how to be a pastor, and here is this on-fire believer who's saying, Steve, don't let them, here in the seminary, don't let them mess you up. I've always remembered that. I hope I did not allow them. Here I am 2 degrees later. I hope I did not allow them to mess me up. And all he was doing is he's talking about this truth we're looking at here in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus didn't use paid professional ministers. He used everyday folks to do his work, just like us. I'm going to put myself in your category, not in the category of the highbrows. Okay? Let's notice another thing here. Let's look at the message that loves big. Pretty simple message. Verse 7, Jesus said, as you go, announce this. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Pretty simple message, huh? What Jesus is saying to them, in essence, these 12 guys, is, look, as you go, I'm sending you out into the towns and the villages here in Galilee. This is Galilean ministry. And as you go into those villages, by the things you say, by the things you do, by your actions, by the way you live, by your warm, sincere personalities, go in there and find the folks that are hurting and help us. Find the folks that are weary and worn out and let them know for real that a heaven-like life is available through Jesus. They're looking for something authentic. They're looking for something real. They're looking for someone who's sincere. You go in there, you show them that, and you let them know in the midst of their hurt and their heartache, a Jesus, a heaven-like life is available through Jesus. Galilean ministry, we touched on that last spring. He's ministering in the area of Galilee that contains several small towns and villages. Go back up there, chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. There you are. He's doing it himself. And healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out. That's the message. These people were just beaten up by life. Life was just beating them up. And Jesus could see them as the crowds assembled. He could see in there the faces of the people who were just beaten up by life. Go to them. Tell them a heaven-like life is available. It's available here. That was the primary intention of Jesus. Simply say to them, we come representing this heaven-like life, this heaven-like influence of Jesus. Last spring, we proactively, consciously, deliberately began going into the villages around us. Now, you know, if you were here, you remember we established Galilee was a region probably, you know, not much bigger than the region of Pflugerville. And in that region of Galilee, there were lots of small towns and villages, kind of spotted that area. Here Jesus was ministering to all these towns and villages. We have it also here in Pflugerville. We have little villages in Pflugerville. Here they're called subdivisions. We call them by a different name now. By the way, there are 69 subdivisions in Pflugerville. So we organized ourselves. And what we began doing last spring was taking 3 weeks out of a month, focusing on one subdivision at a time, and going into that subdivision and doing what Jesus instructed us to do. For those of you who weren't here, let me kind of explain this quickly. On the first Sunday, we have this divided into three teams and three Sundays. On the first Sunday, the prayer teams went out. Now, we have a great administrative team, and they get this all organized. What happens is the prayer teams come up here. We assemble right out here in the mall. The prayer teams come up here, and we kind of talk about the village we're going into, the subdivision we're going into. Assignments are handed out, and these prayer teams go out in groups of two, and they go out, and their assignment is to go into whatever subdivision we're addressing that month, and they prayer walk. They prayer walk in front of these homes, and they have small assignments. The assignment's not very big. These houses, many of them, have never been prayed over. People in there have never been prayed for. And these prayer walkers go and they pray. Sometimes they have time to do it two times, and they'll go around and pray for all these homes. It takes them about 20, 30, 40 minutes to do that. And they're done for the month. That's all they do for the month is they pray over those people. Second Sunday, 4:45, the distributors come. And the distributors, I think I've lost my card, the distributors hand out packets of cards. We have some up here I can put on the video. There you go. We take these door hangers, and they hang these on all of the homes in that subdivision. Doesn't take very long. Those cards contain all the ministries in our church. We hang those on the doors. Takes them 20, 30, 45 minutes. They hang them on all the doors in their assigned area. They go out in groups of two, and they're through. They're through for the month. Our hope is that people will get these cards and look at them, and the ministries will appeal to them and touch their hearts, and their curiosity will be piqued. On the third week, the discovery teams go out. Same routine, come up here at 4:45, we meet in the mall, Assignments are made in that subdivision. People go out and they meet these folks. They go out and knock on the doors and they meet these people. They don't have anything they memorize. They go out and they just, with their gifts of the personalities, they just meet these folks, ask them if they receive the cards on their doors, ask them if there are any questions about the ministries of our church. Very often there are. They meet those needs, answer those questions, pray with them there at the door. Takes them about 45 minutes, and they're done for the month. That's all they do. I want you to know we have done 4 subdivisions this way since last spring. We have been to thousands of homes, almost 2,000 homes we've prayer walked in Pflugerville. Over 3,000 of these card packs have been hung on doors, and almost 2,000 have been contacted and prayed for in Pflugerville. Many of those people have come here. Many of those people have been ministered to and have come here seeking for help. Some of you are probably sitting out here right now as a result of this great work, carrying this great message of the Lord to the villages of Pflugerville. Now, quickly, I want to look at one last thing. I want to look at the ministries that love big. Look at verse 8. Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have skin diseases, drive out demons. You have received free of charge, give free of charge. Those were the ministries that were needed at that time. Jesus said, you've received my blessings in your life free of charge. Give these ministries to those free of charge. No strings attached. We're not going out into the neighborhoods trying to get another notch in our soul-winning gun. We're not trying to build up our membership. We're not trying to build up our financial coffer. None of those kinds of things. All we're trying to do is give freely the blessings that Jesus has given to us. I want to give you a window into what we're doing. Take just a moment here and listen to a testimony by Jenny Smith. If we have that, let's go ahead and show it, guys.
My name is Jenny Smith. I've been coming to First Baptist Pflugerville for about 20 years. We moved to Pflugerville when our oldest Addison was 4 to put her in the Pflugerville school system, and we were looking for a church home, and we visited First Baptist Pflugerville, and that's where we stayed. So we've been there for quite some time. You know, when Brother Steve came to the church or came to the congregation and told us about what God had laid on his heart, I thought, well, you know, we need to be involved in that. That was something, it just really spoke to me. And I talked to Warren, my husband, and he said, yes. He said, you know, let's go ahead and decide what we're going to do in that and commit to that program. And so we've done Sarah's Creek and all the other subdivisions that were done this summer, and it was a great, great blessing to our family. McKenna, our youngest, also came along with us, and it's been wonderful, and we're so appreciative for the opportunity to be able to participate in a ministry like that. Community Connect has impacted my life in a way that I really didn't realize it would. I would like to share a story with you. It was McKenna and myself. We had gone out to one of the subdivisions and we were going door to door like everybody was. And you know, you get a lot of people that aren't interested. And we came to this one home and this lady answered the door, and you could tell she was a little frazzled and she was tired. And we told her who we were, and she said that she had received the pamphlet the week before and she had looked through it. And she told us, she goes, I don't have a lot of time, she said, but let me tell you what's going on with me. And she said that her 7-year-old granddaughter was coming to live with her, and she was frantically getting ready for this little girl to come live in her home. She was painting her room, moving furniture, and I don't know what her story is and why this little girl was coming to live with her, but I could tell that this lady was meeting a need her family had by allowing this child to come live with her. And she was very interested in our programs. You could tell she was very tired. She was very worn out and weary. And she wanted to get involved with programs for herself and for her 7-year-old granddaughter. We, you know, elaborated on Vacation Bible School and the different programs that we have. And, you know, my children grew up there and went through those programs. And so I could testify to those programs for her. And, you know, she seemed really like there was some relief there, that there was somewhere for her to go, to turn to help her with maybe raising this little girl and getting involved with this church and our community. And she was a blessing to me and McKenna, because it was, you know, we just really felt like that maybe just by being there and visiting her that day, it made an impact on her. So, you know, I'm not sure what all God has worked in her life, but I'm sure that there's been some really wonderful things that happened just from that pamphlet being delivered and then someone coming by and visiting with her. So that was a really wonderful visit for myself and for McKenna too.
Jenny's one of dozens and dozens and dozens of teams that go out. We're going to start up again. We've taken a summer break because of the heat. We're going to start up again next Sunday night. And here's what I want to say to you. Loving big is an individual thing. This is something we do as individuals. We just surrender to the idea that Jesus has given us everything we need. We already have all we need to love on the people around us unconditionally and carry to them the message that the heaven-like life of Jesus is already available. If you just reach out, if you'll just reach out. We do that as individuals, but as a congregation, we're doing that by reaching out to the villages all around us. We've reached out to 4. We're heading into a new one. We're going into Bowles Place next Sunday night. Here's what I ask you to do. I want to encourage you to either sign up or sign up again for Community Connection. Right out here in the mall, is the booth. It's going to be manned this morning by Stephanie Smith. Stephanie heads up our 4th team. It's the administration team. She's going to be right out here to answer any questions you may have. I'm sure I didn't explain all that thoroughly. She can answer any questions you have. If you've not signed up yet, please sign up and let's get your name on a roster. We are serious about loving Pflugerville, and we're being very effective at doing it. So you come and join with us. Now, it occurs to me that as we're talking here this morning, you may be thinking, man, what is with this group of people? Why are they doing all this stuff? This is just radical stuff. It's because we've given our lives to Jesus. In our lives, Jesus is first, and we are second. We cater to ourselves second, and this is why we're doing this. If you would like to give your life to Christ also and become radicalized Christians like us, and you got to know we are radicalized people, become radicalized Christians like us, why don't you come? In just a moment here, we're going to sing another song, and while we sing, I'm going to invite you to come. We have counselors. They're not up here yet, but they will be, who love Jesus, and they enjoy talking with people and praying with people. Come on down here for just a moment, and let's talk together and pray together and give your life to Christ Jesus. If you want to come and be one of us, come on. Come be one of us. We don't care where you're coming from. You just come and be one with us this morning. All right? Let's all pray together. Lord and Savior, we thank you for the opportunity to save you, serve you.